This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. Greetings this morning and welcome to our lesson today. We're glad you've tuned us in. For those of you who would like to contact me, I'll give you my mailing address and my website address at the close of the program. You can contact me either way if you would like to leave prayer requests or if you have comments on the program. If you'd like to re-listen to the program, you might want to listen to it on my website. You can download it to your own computer if you would like. There's a weekly meditation on my website, which you can read. So if you need either of these addresses, you might want to get a pencil and a piece of paper out so you can write them down at the close of the program. You can also still be put on the free subscription list for Grace and Truth, the monthly magazine that I publish in from time to time, but I'll need your address if you want me to send it on to them. Now today we're going to move on into Acts chapter 27, and we're going to look at the journey that Paul begins now on his way to Rome. We noted last time that he had given his testimony to King Agrippa. Festus thought he was mad. King Agrippa really said, "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." But because he had appealed to Caesar, rather than being taken back to Jerusalem and letting King Agrippa or one of the magistrates listen to the case where the Jews were so against him and so determined to kill him, he had appealed to go to Rome and to be heard in the court of Nero. And so because of that, he's now going to take this journey on the way to Rome, and he's going to do it by ship. And when we look at this journey that he's taking, some have looked at it from vantage point of it tracing church history and the way in which church history has worked down through the years. In other words, the early stage, there was some zeal and it worked well, and then there was the part where it becomes a storm and troublesome, and they have equated the trip to a panoramic view of church history. I don't really want to do that this morning as we look at this. I would like to look at the journey in a literal way, looking at Paul as he committed himself to the Lord on this journey. But I would also like to make some parallels between the journey that he makes here on the way to Rome and our lives and the way they tend to work out, particularly after we're saved. Sometimes we think after we're saved that everything is going to be downhill and the wind is always going to be at our back and we're always going to be wealthy and we're not going to have any troubles. But there are difficulties that come into our life, and those trials are important because they prove the reality of our faith. And I think we would read about that through both the Apostle Peter, and we'd read about it through James, the Lord's brother, and we would understand that these trials are there in order to prove that we're real and to help us mature in our faith. So we want to look at this in both ways. Then starting at Acts 27 and verse 1, we read, "And when it was decided that we should sail to Italy, they delivered Paul and some other prisoners to one named Julius, a centurion of the Augustan regiment. So entering a ship of," and I can't say this word, "Adramelichium, we put to sea, meaning to sail along the coast of Asia, Aristarchus. A Macedonian of Thessalonica was with us." And then we read in verse 3, "And the next day we sailed at Sidon, we landed at Sidon, and Julius," that is the centurion, "treated Paul kindly and gave him liberty to go to his friends and receive care." Now my first point with regard to this trip is that we have to remember that there's going to be trouble on the trip, and there's going to be a time when at least the soldiers are going to, or the sailors are going to think that they're going to lose their life. But we need to remember that God had said that Paul was to testify in Rome. So even if this ship sinks, his life has to be preserved in order for God's word to be carried out. Peter was in that same situation when he was in prison in the early part of Acts, because the Lord had told him that when he was old, he was going to die, and and he was going to die. The people were going to carry him where he didn't want to go, and it appears from what the Lord said that he was going to die by crucifixion. He was not going to die by the sword. So when Paul's in prison, even though they're praying for him in the house of Mark's mother, actually, I think, if I remember the story right, even though they're praying for him, Peter's sleeping, because this isn't the way he's going to die. And so as we go through this story, we know that Paul believed God as well, and so he had a certain amount of courage on this trip that the sailors couldn't have had, because he knew that, in a figurative sense at least, his ship couldn't sink until he got to Rome. And so while the ship actually does sink, he is preserved, his life is preserved, because he has to go to Rome. And yet when we look at this journey, it's clear that Julius the centurion probably treated Paul a lot better than his own countrymen did. He must have had some respect for Paul and for what Paul had tried to do. He might maybe even realize that Paul was unjustly accused. And he probably knew something about the Jewish people. And it just makes me realize that the Lord has ways of taking care of his people that we often do not expect. You never know who the Lord will use to help you. And generally, it won't be the ones you thought would help you. And that's what I found out over the years. I've many times thought that certain people would be interested in my work, that they would be interested in the gospel that I preach, that they would want to support my work. And I found out that I couldn't get any help from those people. But then there would be people that I would have least expected to have taken an interest in me. And sometimes they did it anonymously, and they helped me in such a way so that I was able to continue the work. And God has his people. And we can't depend upon men to meet our needs. We have to depend upon God and upon his promises. I think we read in the Old Testament, "Cursed is the man that trusteth in man, that maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord." Now, obviously, this centurion was a blessing to Paul. But, at least in my mind, we would have thought that he would have been one who would have mistreated him. Instead, he's one who treats him kindly. So, one thing we see is that even Romans, as rough as they could be, and as cruel as they could be, they did have people that had a heart of compassion. And so he treated Paul kindly, gave him liberty to visit his friends when they landed at Sidon. Now, this next section, I don't know if I'm going to read it all, but I hope you'll read it at your leisure. It starts with verse 4 and goes down to verse 10, and it has to do with the winds being contrary. So it says in verse 4, "When we had put out to sea from there, we sailed under the shelter of Cyprus, because the winds were contrary." And then it tells how that they had to go by certain places with difficulty, and they went to a place called Fair Havens near the city of Lystia. And then there was a decision that had to be made. Were they going to stay there and winter there, or were they going to go on? But it's interesting, the winds were contrary, and how many times in life does it seem like the winds are contrary? And many people will make decisions about life, and they will enter into a particular project thinking they're doing it for the Lord. And when the winds are contrary, then they think, well, I must have made a mistake. Well, Paul was going to go to Jerusalem. He knew from the beginning that even though there were prophets that told him that he was going to suffer, that he was going to be persecuted, that there was going to be difficulty if he went to Jerusalem and then from Jerusalem on to Rome, he still had his heart set on doing that because he thought it was the Lord's will. And now we come to a place where the winds are contrary, and he could have said, oh, I must have made a mistake, but I don't ever hear Paul saying that. Paul actually ends up in prison, and even though he ends up in prison, we never find out that he thought he made a mistake going to Jerusalem, where they were going to try to kill him, and ultimately he would go as a prisoner to Rome. And when he writes his prison epistles, particularly in Ephesians, he says he's a prisoner of the Lord. He doesn't say he's a prisoner of the Romans. And so it's quite clear in my mind that sometimes when the winds are contrary, that we still need to do whatever it is the Lord has called us to do. We need to pray for help. We need to pray for strength. We need to pray for perseverance. But we need to put one foot in front of the other and continue in whatever it is the Lord has called us to do. And I can tell you that many times my wife and I have had to do that when it comes to the Lord's work, because it has seemed as though we have, in a sense, hit the wall that a jogger hits at about 22 miles, and we didn't think we could go on, but there was always somebody to help us, and there was always someone to encourage us, and we would find out that we were just fighting the spiritual battles that everybody fights when they attempt to do the Lord's work. We have to remember that if God is for us, Satan is going to be fighting against us. But if God be for us, who can be against us? And that's the nice thing about being saved. You have a Savior who loves you, who died for you, and then who keeps you along the way. He's never going to forsake you. And how many people who turn away from the Lord can have that kind of assurance, that kind of confidence, and know that they have in their God a friend that sticks closer than a brother? Friend, if you're not a true believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you need to be, you ought to be, because there is such blessing when the winds of life are contrary. And there are people who are unbelievers who face contrary winds. What is their comfort? What is their hope when that happens? Now, when we come down to verse 11, we find out the centurion has to make a decision, and he listens to an expert, his helmsman, rather than listening to Paul. And sometimes when we're making decisions, we listen to the wrong people as well. And he was misled by the so-called experts and by circumstances. And he waits, because we read in verse 13, when the south wind blew softly, supposing they had obtained their desire, they put out to sea as they sailed close by Crete. So he listened to the wrong people, and circumstances convinced him he was right. The south wind was blowing softly, and in a few minutes we find out, or in a little shortly in the story, we find out that they've headed into a storm that is going to destroy them. In a sense, they made a terrible mistake. But question is, when we get into that kind of a storm, when we've listened to the wrong person. Now, it was actually an unsaved man who had listened to the wrong person. It wasn't Paul here. But if that should happen in our lives, what are we going to do? Well, tune in next time and I'll tell you what we have to do. We have to listen to God, and we have to do what he says. And we'll find out, Paul says, I believe God that it will be even as he has told me. He has confidence in God. I hope we are saved and have that kind of confidence in God today as well. Now, our Heavenly Father, bless our comments. Bless those who have listened. We pray that this program will be help in advancing your kingdom as we commit ourselves into thy care in our Savior's name. Now, our mailing address is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. My website address is bdcministries.faithweb.com. bdcministries.faithweb.com. And we do thank you for listening.